In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In World War II, there was a fleet of aircraft that was going on a bombing raid into Germany, and the chaplain wanted to go with them, so he climbed into one of the planes, and they started on their run. And on their way, of course, they fell under fire. So in the midst of all this fire, the chaplain came over the intercom, and he said, "Take courage, men. God is with us." And no sooner had he said this than from the back, the tail gunner, manning the turret in the back, he said, "Well, God might be up there with you, but he's not back here." And no sooner had he said this than a shell from one of the cannons came up through the floor, barely missed him, and passed out the roof without exploding or causing him any harm at all. And he got back on the intercom and he said, "Correction, please. He just walked in." Certainly we are much like this tail gunner. And in this rather humorous story, we are much like him. We don't trust that God is there. And we are much like the apostles in the gospel of today. Our Lord is there in the ship, and yet they lose sight of this fact in the midst of the storm. Yes, our God, he is truly a Father who cares for us, even in the midst of these storms, even in the midst of battles like this gunner, which means that we have to have utmost confidence in him. So first, let us see that God is truly our Father and that he cares for us. It's an article of our faith that God created the world, but it follows on this fact that God also governs the world and he cares for his creation. It is similar to a ball hanging from a string. If at any moment that string were cut, the ball would fall. Well, God creating the world, if he were to walk away with it, cut his ties, so to speak, with his creation, it would fall into nothingness. God certainly has to be present in his creation, keeping it in existence, but then also guiding it, making sure that all of his creatures fulfill the ends for which he created them. And this care that God has and his guidance for his creation, we call divine providence. It's a heresy and a terrible error to say that God created things and walked away. This is what the deists, especially in the time of the Enlightenment, this is what they taught, that God created things. He's like a great clockmaker, and then once the clock is ticking, he walks away. He doesn't care for the world that he made. But what an insult to Almighty God to say that he doesn't care for what he has made. It is truly a heresy, and it's truly insulting to God. Is he not God? Does he not know what his creatures need? And is he not wise enough to determine the best ways to make sure that they are taken care of? And is he not all-powerful, that he can help them? And is he not a father that he wants to help them? No, it's insulting to God to say that he doesn't care for his creation, to say that he is not providential, that he doesn't take care of us. He guides all creatures. We see it with irrational creatures. He said so in the gospel, "Your Father feeds the birds of the air. He clothes the grass." These irrational things are taken care of. Just look to the stars and the beautiful harmony you see there and the motion which they fulfill for thousands of years, working perfectly, God ordering that. He cares for irrational things. He cares for the small and the great. As Scripture says, "For he made the little and the great, and he hath equally care of all." He cares for the minutest details. There is nothing too little for God to take care of. The very hairs of your head are numbered. He knows the number of the hairs of our head. He cares for even the details. Yes, of course, he most especially cares for us as children. "Not one sparrow shall fall on the ground without your Father knowing it. Fear not, therefore, better are you than many sparrows." Yes, in one of the most touching verses in Scripture, in the Old Testament, God said, "Can a woman forget her infant so as not to have pity on the son of her womb? And if she should forget, yet will not I forget thee." We can't imagine a woman forgetting her child. Much less can we imagine God forgetting us, his children. Who is it that gave the mother that care for her child but God? So yes, he is a father who does care for us. But we can see as a second point that often God does allow us to go through storms. Storms as in today's gospel. In a sense, it's easy to remember and to return to the thought of God's providence when things are going our way, when things are good. We set out on the road and we say a prayer for the road. We ask God to bless this undertaking, to take care of this or that. And when things go our way, we're fine. But as soon as God allows a storm to set in, we start to lack trust. We forget. We get so absorbed in our situation that we don't look to this Father who cares for us equally in good things as in difficult things. Those storms which we undergo can be anything, any tribulation or temptation we're undergoing. Troubles in our marriage, troubles with money, trying to make ends meet, trouble in school, we're not passing our classes, we're having difficulty with our friends. Sicknesses, all of these things are little storms that God sends into our lives. God, he is there present in the midst of these storms, even though he appears to sleep. He is allowing us to undergo them. Our Lord today, he was in the boat the entire time, God and man, able to help the apostles at any moment, and yet he wished to appear as sleeping. Sometimes in the midst of our storms, we do feel like those poor apostles. Care you not that we perish? Of course he cares. And he is there and he will help us in his time. And as in today's gospel, the Lord awoke and he rebukes them. O ye of little faith, O ye of little faith, I am asleep, but do you not know that I'm God? Do you not know that I see your trouble, that I care for you and that I will help you? I will not allow you to perish. O ye of little faith. It is the same in our situations. We too, when we're in the midst of these sufferings, we lack faith. We don't trust that God is there to help us. Nothing, whether it's good or evil, nothing happens to us without the will and or at least the permission of God. We see this in the Old Testament with Joseph. What terrible evils he had to go through. He was sold by his own brothers into slavery. Then when he was trying to serve his master in slavery faithfully, he was accused falsely and cast into prison. He helped prisoners, and those prisoners forgot him. So he stayed in prison until finally God, in his own good time, elevated Joseph and made him the prince of Egypt, the head underneath Pharaoh himself. And when his brothers came and Joseph finally revealed himself to them, he said, "Not by your counsel was I sent hither, but by the will of God." God permitted this evil. God allowed you to sell me into slavery because he wanted to work good through it. God loves us, and everything that he does, everything that he allows, it's for that end, for our happiness, because he loves us. God never permits evil if good will not come from it. So now finally, we have to see, what do we do in the midst of these storms? It's quite clear we have to have faith. Faith in the sense of believing. God's providence often is a mystery to us. Often it's difficult for us to see why God is allowing me to go through this or that. Why is God allowing this trial to befall me now? It's hard for us to understand. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways. As the heavens are exalted above the earth, so are my ways exalted above your ways. Yes, often God's ways are mysterious. But we have to believe. God remains God, and he does not sleep. Behold, he shall neither slumber nor sleep that keepeth Israel, as the psalm says. He sees and he knows how to help us, and he's powerful to do so, and he wants to. And the miracle of the gospel of today shows us that. Look how ready our Lord is to help his apostles. Look how ready he is. He wakes up and immediately calms the storm. What manner of man is this? For the winds and sea obey him. This is our God, and he can and will help us. We have to keep that faith, that belief. How can we doubt a God who died for us? How can we not believe that he will help us? Look to what ends he has gone to save us. And can we believe then that in the midst of this trial he's going to leave us? How can we doubt such a good God? Nothing can displease him more than a lack of faith in this way. So yes, we must believe in that. We have to have faith in that sense of believing, but we also have to have faith in the sense of trust, hoping. We have nothing to fear in the midst of these trials. Though an army should stand in battle against me, my heart will not fear. Put all of our worries and cares into his hands. He will take care of us. And then we also have to embrace God's will, embrace the sacrifice. Often when we're in the midst of a situation, we can't see why God's allowed it. We can't see the purpose of it. We can't see the good God will bring out of it. But we must go up to the cross. It's a bit like when you're on the ground. It's hard for you to get the lay of the land, to understand how things all tie together. And it's only until you go up at a higher elevation, you can look down and see, okay, that's where that road leads, that's where that road leads. You have to go up, you have to go higher to get a picture of the situation. And we too in our trials must do the same thing. We have to go up on the cross. Hang ourselves up on the cross with our Lord, embrace his will, embrace the suffering he is sending, and look with him from the cross down at the situation, and we'll see it in its right light then, when we are willing to embrace the sacrifice. Keeping always in mind, as the collect today reminds us, that these sufferings often are sent as ways of making up for our sins, repairing for sin. There's a theologian who said, and we can think of this in the time of November when we're thinking about the souls in purgatory, all of the sufferings we are sent in our life are sent by God so that we are able to go to heaven directly. God doesn't want us to go to purgatory. It's a matter of accepting them well so we can go to heaven. And then we have to have profound joy. Look at the saints. Look at their trials. Sometimes it's frightening how many things they had to undergo. And yet they're the happiest of people. They're the most joyful people because they see through this God's loving hand. So yes, today, let us go to our Lord. Of course, we can always go to him with the prayer of the apostles in the midst of our trials. Lord, save us, we perish. We can always use this as our prayer. Lord, save me. Help me. But if when we cry to our Lord to save us and we seemingly get no answer, when this happens, let us turn to the star of the sea. In these stormy seas of our life, we have a star. And that is Our Lady. Yes, turn to her and use her as a guide. Use her as help and encouragement. What can we suffer that can equal Our Lady's sufferings? And look at how she bore them, always with the spirit of faith, believing that God through them would work great, great good. Let us do the same and always have this confidence in our Father who does care for us and who can help us. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.